Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Rock and Roll Friday on the Savage Nation. We got through another horrendous week under the Messiah, and that is why we're celebrating another week of freedom. It is Open Mic to Mic Friday on the Savage Nation. You know the number. 1-800-449-8255. Any topic of the week. Whatever. Whatever. Let's see. What are we talking about? What do we talk about this week? You think I remember? Oh, yes. North Korea, that little item. And our chicken navy that refuses to board the ship. The Obama Navy is sort of like McHale's Navy in that it has no teeth whatsoever. I don't even know if the ships have propellers. We do know that Obama is an isolationist. He doesn't want to get too involved. So instead of stopping the ships that are heading to North Korea to supply them with nuclear material, Obama is instructing the Navy to take a hail and query approach. We won't stop them. We'll just ask the North Koreans nicely if they'll stop. And, of course, you know the answer. We also talked about Comedian-in-Chief Chairman Obama this week. As he gave a press conference, he didn't say one word about North Korea. He said nothing forceful about Iran, which is why the people were being shot dead in the streets. And yet the schmucks in the media sat there laughing. It is Obama's Cuban Missile Crisis, the North Korea thing. And let's hope, for the sake of America, it doesn't become his Bay of Pigs. We also talked about Governor Sanford and the media, which is the fact that the same people who said that Bill Clinton's affair with Monica Lewinsky was a personal matter and only shenanigans, well, the very same people are now making Governor Sanford's affair into a huge crisis of state and saying it should disqualify him from a presidential run. The same jerks who said that John Edwards' affair shouldn't be talked about are now splashing this news all over the headlines simply because he's a Republican. Then we talked about an actress who plays a gangster's wife, Edie Falco, who was employed by the Obama team to push health care reform. So we had a fake nurse talking to a fake journalist named Andrea Mitchell about a fake health care reform bill. This is America, my friends. Phone number 1-800-449-8255. If you think I'm going to talk about Michael Jackson, you are, well, you're right and you're wrong. One thing I'm going to say is this. I never listened to him. It's not my cup of tea, so to speak, that type of music. I realize there are millions of people who think he was a great man. He died with apparently $500 million worth of debt. In other words, Michael Jackson and Barack Obama have something in common, which is that they've, in the case of Michael Jackson, he ran himself into debt and lived above his means. And in the case of the Messiah, he has put America into debt and he's making his administration live above their means. That's all I'm going to say on the Michael Jackson story. 1-800-449-8255. What other stories would you like to talk about? We could talk about Neverland and Michael Jackson, or Never Neverland under Barack Obama. We could talk about real news, if you'd like. The stories, you don't want to hear them? What do you want me to do about it? Want me to tell you Republicans good, Democrats bad? Or those elites are really snotty, as Wallbanger said the other day? Ooh, them elites are really snotty out there. Oh, yes, as we speak, the fascist Democrat Party will not permit Republicans to debate the issue at hand, the cap-and-trade bill. The distinguished congressman from the slums of Los Angeles, Congressman Nostrilman, that is the man with the distended nostrils, who is now an expert on global warming, We do not know if he has a degree in science, but we do know he's an expert on global warming. The fact is that skeptics about this have grown all over the world except in America. It turns out that Al Gore and the United Nations, with an assist from the media, did a little too vociferous a job smearing anyone who disagreed with them about so-called global warming and called them deniers. Well, this backlash has brought the scientific debate roaring to life overseas, where there is still freedom of thought. But there is very little debate here in America where there's no freedom of thought under the fascist regime that is now running Congress. On the right side of the website, Obama Navy chickens out of North Korea showdown. That's my headline. I take full responsibility for it. On the left side of the headline, Harry Reid won't give public time to read health care bill. Again, an example of the fascism that you get from your so-called progressives. Ex-Surgeon General pleads guilty to a felony. That is, former Surgeon General Antonia Novello pleaded guilty Friday to a felony in a deal with prosecutors to avoid prison time for forcing state employees to handle personal chores. Cap-and-trade bill passed by Nostrilman would be the biggest in American history. From Hawaii, a councilman to Obama, send the Gitmo detainees to us. That's right. North Kona, Hawaii Councilman Kelly Greenwell wants Gitmo detainees released in his community, not housed there, not in prison there, but released in his community, saying the Aloha spirit will begin the process of healing and forgiveness. Let me tell you something about the Aloha spirit. Go try to raise a child in Hawaii. You'll find out what the Aloha spirit is if you can't afford private school. They'll be beaten every day and their lunch stolen. From the New York Daily News, a lawmaker says that the New York governor is a coke-snorting womanizer. That's what he said. Democrats blasted the governor for keeping them in Albany day after day, and hot-headed Senator Kevin Parker called Patterson a coke-snorting, staff-banging governor. I didn't say it. He did. Take it up with him. Bloomberg says Soviet schools if mayor control lost. I don't know what that means. I know nothing of what Bloomberg says. Bloomberg is perhaps the most enigmatic of politicians, enigmatic in the sense that he says nothing. Congress to okay funds to jail illegals. Biden reaches out to gay community. Illegal alien kills cop during traffic stop. Houston Chronicle, the gunman who shot and killed an undercover police officer during a night sting operation was an illegal immigrant who had been picked up by the U.S. Border Patrol. Thank you, Barack Obama, for being kind to illegal aliens, just what the country needed. Abuse in Zimbabwe, diamond fields. I have no diamonds. I don't buy them. Swedish parents keep two-year-old's gender secret. They said that it's cruel to bring a child into the world with a blue or pink stamp on their forehead. A Swedish feminist couple is refusing to reveal whether their child is a boy or a girl. Well, look what happened to the land of the Vikings. And for those of you who love the Islamic world but won't visit or live there, because you're liars, it's not in my backyard. You love the Islamic world, but you won't go there. We learned from the Associated Press that an Islamic court has cut off the hands and feet of four thieves. An Islamic court in progressive, advanced Somalia cut off a hand and a foot from each of four men convicted of stealing phones and guns, drawing hundreds of onlookers as the weeping men were punished. This is the Savage Nation. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. I will not talk about the Michael Jackson story for three reasons. One, he was a nobody. Two, I don't cover that kind of story. And three, it's an embarrassment if a network does, simply for ratings. The same pressures that drive television shows and radio shows to appeal simply for ratings is the reason that we have an incompetent for the president. You understand that because they have gone down to the lowest common denominator, we have Barack Obama as president. It's the same with ratings. By nature, if you keep appealing to the lowest common denominator to get more and more of the lower mentality people to listen to your show, you wind up with a show that's not worth doing. You get how it works? That's how it works. So that's why I'm not going to take it up. You want to talk North Korea? You want to talk cap and trade? You want to talk socialized medicine? You want to talk the serious problems that we are in because of Barack Obama and his minions? I'll do it. Or you want to have a lifetime fight? I'm not talking about this guy, Michael Jackson. He died basically talentless and broke, $500 million in debt. And that's about all there is to say about him. What more should I say about him? San Francisco, KNEW, Rick, you're up on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, Michael, I apologize, but I do watch Fox, and it's only because I have no other choice. But I'm really disgusted with them. They were covering the Michael Jackson story all day yesterday when we've got problems in this country.
That's also, right. Michael Jackson. Well, look, you got to understand who runs Fox Network. Some of the hosts may be reasonably intelligent people. It is run by a man who made his name by splashing short-skirted bimbos with lipstick mixed in with the news. He's a man who created the tabloid in Australia. Do you understand that, that he's never changed his format?
Yes, I do, but why didn't they cover Ed McMahon, who was a World War II Corsair pilot, just like my father? They didn't do anything for him.
Well, Ed McMahon was an old white man who died. There's no need to cover him. He's part of the past. Part of the future is Michael Jackson. Thanks for the call. I'll be right back.
I'm gonna live till I die. I'm gonna laugh instead of cry. I'm gonna take the time
turn it
and
off.
Turn it
Will
up.
You turn this off? God, am I not in a Frankie Lane mood? You know, guys, give me a break. You talk about dating a show. I mean, you should be playing Michael Jackson, Moonwalk, or something like that. Thank you very much. 30 years of this, and that's why we have what we have today. Obama's luau. You know, you want to hear what he ate at the luau? You know, what I love about the luau is this. When Bush was president, the schmucks in the media said that Bush brought down the level of the White House that they had experienced under Clinton with the high formal dinners and all of that. And poor old Bush, they beat him up and said he's just a hick from Texas. Who only had barbecues, and it was depressing, and they rammed them for that. So now we wake up, and here are the Obamas having a luau serving pork butt, and the media glorifies it and says it was a multicultural experience that raised the level of the White House. And here's the menu. Wasabi potato salad, farm green salad, that's unique, lomi lomi salmon, stuffed new potatoes. Why does everything have a cute name to it? Stuffed new potatoes. BBQ baby back ribs. Kahlua pig. Where's PETA from all of this? Kahlua pig. Shrimp and clams. Where's the Clam Protection Society? I mean, Obama's killing clams now? Chefs on the site also prepared tilapia tempura rolls. You know, by the way, tilapia is the lowest grade fish there is, incidentally. I wouldn't eat tilapia if I was starving. You ever eat tilapia? Tilapia is raised in swamp-like pools. Crispy chicken hoagie, that's a high-class dish. Spiced short ribs, that really elevates the level of the White House. For dessert, chocolate bars. At a thatched roof bar, a local brewing company's lager was served. Ugh. And let's see, that's about it. It's a big deal. What are you going to make out of it? There's not even any humor in it. That's all. Nothing. Nothing. The whole thing is pathetic. And they're ramming through a bill right now as we talk. Nostrelman's bill they're pushing through. Global warming. They're all geniuses on global warming. North Korea, they're not interested in. That's not an important thing. Obama Navy chickens out of North Korea showdown, michaelsavage.com. The United States will not use force to inspect a North Korean ship suspected of carrying banned goods. They make you think it's banned kimchi. See how the Associated Press writes for Obama? Banned goods. Nuclear weapons, they call banned goods. Yes, they're carrying tainted kimchi. Now, I want to ask you something. Isn't the Navy created to use force? If you don't, in other words, if a Navy doesn't use force, you don't need a Navy. You need cruise ships or yachts. So if you have a Navy with weaponry, you don't use it. What's the good of the Navy? Answer, it's no good. That's why I said Obama Navy chickens out of North Korea showdown. They should sink the ship and say, oops, sorry, end of story. But you see, you're letting all of these fat insects around the world grow fatter and more brazen. And I know how this ends. It ends very badly. Whenever dictators get away with bullying, they grow more brazen and they get more dangerous. And the trick is to stop them while they are weaker rather than when they become stronger. Don't you see how this works? That's how it is in the real world. But because you're not interested in it, I'm not going to talk about it, even though I just did. I don't know why you're not taking North Korea seriously. I really don't understand it. Okay, we'll talk about something else. Fine, North Korea, boring. Friday, boring. I don't even know what rock and roll to play for you today and how to entertain you. I don't know. Play the thing with the Michael Jackson again. That's a good song. It's actually spirited. I like it. Comes to your mind when you hear this. I don't know why, but I mixed this song up with that actor who flies planes for Qantas, whose names I don't remember, with blue eyes, with bell bottoms doing something with his hips moving. What's the name of that actor? Travolta. He packed on some weight over the years. All right, he could fly a plane. You got to give him that. Why do I think of John Travolta with bell-bottom pants when I hear this song, even though there's no relationship? Look at a society we live in. Look at a society come to a grinding halt because a singer died. Living in a rental house, $500 million in debt. You forgot about the problems with the children on his estate, huh? The lawsuits over the young fellas that were on the ranch in the zebra den. All right, we got that's enough already. It's enough. What do you want to talk about? Nurse Jackie, did you hear that yesterday? Did you hear what we found? That Obama is using a fake nurse played by an actress named Edie Falco, who played a mafia wife, as a lobbyist for health care reform. Listen to clip 21.
Anywhere I am asked to speak about this, I am participating. It occurred to me back during President Obama's campaign that to speak passionately about something you care about seems to actually have some relevance. It's a whole new concept to me. So I am here to speak on behalf of people who feel passionately.
Okay, thanks. Edie, please. You know, your new role as nurse, whatever, Nurse Betty or whatever, as a junkie and a sex maniac, is such a career killer. Edie, it's a career killer. Those of us who loved you as Soprano's wife will never, ever watch anything you ever do again. Not solely because you are showing your idiocy, which we expected because you're only a parrot, but because this is a terrible
Savage.
Role. Rock and Roll Friday on the one and only Savage Nation. What do I care about North Korea? He can't reach California yet, so since I don't live in Hawaii or Alaska, I don't care. I think I'm going to become a good Democrat. Since the missiles that North Korea apparently has cannot reach the west coast of America, I don't care about it. Let the people in Hawaii and Alaska worry about it. Isn't that what the Democrats are saying? They don't care about it. And so, therefore, since the so-called global warming or cap-and-trade bill will raise taxes by no one knows, actually, how much. Nobody knows how much. $1,000 a household, $5,000 a household. Did you know that this cap-and-trade bill is being railroaded in while we're talking? And Representative Barton talks about taking the United States back to 1875, with the reduction rates in carbon dioxide proposed by Nostrilman and the other morons. Listen to clip 28.
To get to 83% baseline reduction in CO2 by the year 2050, which doesn't change in this bill, you have to reduce the emissions in the United States to the level that we had in 1910. And if you want to look at that on a per capita basis, assuming the population is going to average about 1% growth a year, it takes us back to 1875. This is a bad bill. It deserves to be defeated. Please vote no.
Well, guess what? Nostrilman, Reid, Pelosi are jamming the bill through because there are trillions of dollars involved in contracts for their cronies. In plain English, you must understand this has nothing to do with global warming. It has everything to do with contracts, contracts, and more contracts. Who do you think are going to build these so-called green, whatever they're going to build? Companies in the San Francisco Bay Area. Companies such as General Electric were promised, I read, $1 to $2 trillion worth of contracts by the Obama administration to build so-called green this, green that. That's why MSNBC and NBC have become nothing but mouthpieces for the Obama administration. So the fact of the matter is, sure, we all want less pollution. And the fact of the matter is, we're going to have less pollution. This is the cleanest nation of its size in the world, the cleanest. But the Democrats don't care about the environment. Most of them don't hike. They don't hunt. They don't fish. Most of them are interested only in graft and corruption. Listen to clip 24, Representative Mike Pence. He has it right. Listen.
It's hard to know where to start. I got to think, Madam Speaker, a lot of people looking in on this debate, hearing about copies filed and esoteric process, really don't care very much about all that.
Oh, we have Pelosi speaking now? The hatchet lady herself talking now? Let's listen to her.
Over the House of Representatives.
Genius, a scientific genius, Pelosi. One of the smartest scientists in the history of the world. Nancy Pelosi has the IQ of Albert Einstein, Albert Schweitzer, and Bertrand Russell put together. You wouldn't believe it, but she does. One of the most educated women in sciences in the history of the world.
Of our chairman who so ably brought this important legislation, this historic and transformational legislation to the floor.
You know, I love the word transformational.
Of the Energy and Commerce Committee.
Karl Marx will be proud of that.
Markey of the,
turn it off. I don't want to listen to her. Okay, she gets me sick. Let's go back to people who make sense. Representative Mike Pence, who says this is going to tax you to death. By the way, the central states of America, the heartland, so to speak, are opposed to this because it's going to destroy agriculture in the United States of America. Let's go to clip 25. It's actually excellent. Listen to
now,
this one.
Now, my colleague sporting the green lapel button, who I greatly respect, said that there is a lot of dispute about how much the average American household will pay if this national energy tax becomes law, and that's true. There are estimates ranging from a few hundred dollars a year to the Heritage Foundation's over $4,000 a year. The estimate I prefer was from candidate Barack Obama, who said in January of 2008 to the San Francisco Chronicle, and I shall quote with the deepest respect, "Under my plan of cap and trade system, electricity rates would necessarily skyrocket. That will cost money. They," referring to the utility companies, "they will pass that money on to consumers." Now, President Barack Obama.
Yeah, well, there it is. That's the story. Now, Xanax, Prilosec, Vicodin, Paxil, Demerol, Soma, Dilaudid, and Zoloft are allegedly the daily drugs cocktail of the icon of the American media. So that's why I don't want to talk about it. New York City, WOR. Dana, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Dr. Savage. I wanted to make a comment. I'm a nurse. I've been an RN since 1979. And this Edith Falco, it amazes me that there's no investigative journalism anymore. If they really wanted the story about a nurse's opinion on healthcare, why don't they ask a nurse? I'll tell them.
Because we have an inauthentic man as president. He's a fake president. Don't you understand he's acting as president even though he really doesn't know what he's doing? The man was thrust onto the world stage by the most corrupt machine in the history of America, and so he's acting at being president, and he thinks that the act is working. So who are they going to go to, a real nurse or a real doctor? They go to an actress who plays a nurse.
Yeah, why don't they go to someone whose back aches and feet ache after taking care of their patients all day and have done so for 30 years? I can tell you what's wrong with the healthcare system.
Wait, because that would be an insult to actors.
Probably so. But it's the attorneys. I've watched medicine go from good practicing medicine where the doctors would use their judgment, obviously, and prescribe or order the test they felt needed. I remember specifically, I'm an ER nurse and I've been so for quite some time, but I remember specifically pediatric patients would come in who had a little bump on the head, common sense would say, "Mom, watch the baby overnight." They'd say, "Well, we doesn't need an X-ray, but we better in case an attorney gets a hold of this chart."
Yes.
And that
now they give the baby probably an MRI to avoid a lawsuit.
Absolutely. And then the insurance would pay for it. And that's why nobody can afford the insurance. It's not the health.
Oh, yes, it's the lawyers. The lawyers have destroyed America, and they put Obama in power. They're one of the chief lobbying groups to have put him in power because he's let them go wild in this nation, destroying businesses, destroying families, and destroying the American way. It's the trial lawyers who are destroying America.
I agree. And in my opinion, that singly has destroyed health care because people
can't afford insurance. That's correct. That's absolutely correct. That's why I talked about packaging yesterday. When you try to open a package today, you can cut your hands open. They put plastic around things. You can't even get it open without using a very powerful scissor. I got a headache from this. Give me some, I don't know. So far, I'm not interested in any of this. We have a Kim Jong-il. Play me Michael Jackson just for a minute. Whatever. I'm a bad boy or something. Whatever. What's the name of this? I'm a bad boy? I'm bad. He's bad. Yeah, he was actually scandalous. Go back to 05. He had good lawyers. Took them for everything. Ah, turn it off. For God's sakes, what a sick, degenerate nation. Miami, Florida. Laura, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
People need to know what is going on in Iran. The ones who've been shot and bashed on the heads are the lucky ones. On a good day in Iran, a girl shows her ankle and she gets caned and held captive for 3 days. Now that people are protesting against these evil, corrupt old mullahs, they are instituting tortures against these resistors.
That is because Obama did nothing. Because Obama showed weakness, the mullahs have become more brazen, as Hitler's will do.
Of course. And our people, our youth, are about to lose their freedoms. We're all about to lose our freedoms. And our youth is not like the Iranian youth. They are so drug-addled, so vitiated, that they wouldn't have the nerve to go out in the street and protest.
That is exactly right. We have no youth in America. We have zombies on drugs.
You, doctor.
We have millions of zombies who were drugged out and sex-crazed as a result of the American government media complex.
And it's intentional.
I know. I can't do anything about it. That's why we have such an administration, which is growing increasingly fascistic by the day, cutting off debate, hiding bills, trying to silence their critics. How long do you think it's going to be before they do what they did in Iran? That's the real story here. The reason Obama enabled Ahmadinejad is because he admires him. San Francisco, KNEW. Joe, you're on the Savage Nation.
Oh, Michael, thank you for taking my call. I've talked to a number of people, and they're not very concerned about North Korea launching a missile on the 4th of July. Are you very concerned about it?
No. No, because I don't live in Hawaii or Alaska. It's their problem.
But seriously, do you think they're going to launch it?
How do I know what the lunatic is going to do? Well, let's say he does launch it. It won't have any weapons on it. It's going to be a show of strength. It's saber-rattling. It's to show America that we are within range of their missiles, provided, by the way, by China. Where do you think they got the missile technology from? They got it from China, no doubt.
Right.
So you got to understand that North Korea is the junkyard dog of our China. They're using this to threaten America with regard to trade policies, currency, etc. That's why this is happening. It wouldn't happen if it wasn't for China.
Can I ask you one more question?
You can. I don't know if you're going to like the answer.
Oh, okay. Hey, you know, our dog has hemangiosarcoma, and I'm just wondering, do you recommend or think chemotherapy is a good idea?
Oh, how sad. God. You know, I am not a physician, nor am I a veterinarian, and I will not give any advice. However, what does your veterinarian say? I'm sorry.
Hang on a second. Well, he's only got like a couple months.
What, to live?
Yeah.
A couple of months to live, and you're wondering if you should bother giving the dog chemo to save it or to what?
Well, he's pretty healthy right now, but I mean, he's got these cysts that are growing.
Sad. I can hear you really hurting over this. Look, how old is the dog?
10.
You know, people get broken up over the death of an animal. You know, there comes a time in a lifespan. I mean, the best you can do is just assist the process of life itself. And sometimes you're not doing the animal a service by prolonging the suffering in a way. I don't know how else to put it.
He's not suffering. We're given a lot of good food right now, but I just wondered what you thought about chemotherapy, if it was your doctor.
I can't answer the question. A, I'm not a physician. B, I'm not a veterinarian. But C, I don't have the facts in front of me. I think that's a question for you and your wife to decide after the vet tells you, will it allay the suffering? Will it prolong the dog's life? Or will it only, what is he alleging it's going to do? Prolong the life or not?
See, nobody really
is
knows.
Is the veterinarian suggesting that chemotherapy will actually eliminate the cancer?
No, not eliminate, just maybe prolong him a few months.
Well, then that's one thing. Now, what effects negatively will the chemo have on the dog once he gets it? You know what it does to humans?
Yes, he's like with, Farrah Fawcett, she died after all that therapy.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm getting at. You see, you have to make a decision based upon the cost-benefit ratio. It's true with humans, it's true with dogs. I'm sorry, it's a heartbreaking situation, but I have to defer to your veterinarian. I don't know the situation. I only have the experience with my dogs. The first one, Tippy, died of a heart attack and was thrown in a garbage truck. Those were the days. A dog was a dog. It wasn't an extension of the, you know, like a piece of the family. That's how New Yorkers, that's how they looked at it. They treated it well, but when it dropped dead of a heart attack from the family food, the scraps, that killed almost like the scythe through the family, the cooking, like a scythe, a culinary scythe went on in that kitchen. Every day they cooked. She cooked a scythe in the pots. Took out the dog at about 8, 9. It should have lived to 19. It lived half its lifespan. But they aimed it at males in those days. The women aimed their food, their culinary skills, at eliminating the males, taking them out as fast as possible, so they could be left with the brick house. I'll be right back.
Savage. Yes, I say, come on over, baby. Baby, you can't go wrong. We ain't faking it.
Jeez. Oh, a lot of shaking going on. And a nation comes to a halt over a pop star.
We got chicken.
Eyes of a drug overdose. The whole nation comes to a dead end. Unbelievable to me, the country I'm living in. It bears no resemblance whatsoever to the America I grew up in. Ask the South Koreans how they feel today. Don't ask the people in Hawaii. They're brain dead. They've been brain dead for years. No kaoi. U.S. Navy. May as well take the propellers off the ships. They're not allowed to board the ship. You hear this? A Navy doesn't use force. Take the propellers off the ship. Just use them as floating brothels and birthing clinics. Unbelievable. CNN beat Fox News. How'd that happen? How did that happen? Oh, Michael Jackson. I'm sorry. The geniuses watch those cables. They really have degenerated. Are there that many people who stay home during the day and do nothing but watch cable news? There are that many people who don't work for a living? I don't believe it. Thank God my show is on in the late afternoon, early evening when I get people who actually work for a living. What's the point? What do you want to talk about? You want me to read you my personal emails? I could do that on the air. I don't know that I want to do the news. You heard already everything. You heard what's going on in Congress. We're living in basically a kind of, it's like a Mussolini-level Democrat government, where everything is jammed through, no one reads the bills, and all that matters is that the corruption and the greed keeps rolling on that the Democrats are specializing in. I met a homeless person yesterday. Gave him $5. You want me to talk about that? I mean, you think I'm a mean guy. I'm soon going to publish a list of all the charities that we have given assistance to. You'll see most of them are animal-related. And you're going to see the list of charities. And I'm going to tell you which ones I will never give a red cent to because of the form letters I got back. High on the list is the NRA. High on the list are groups like that. You're never going to believe the letters you get back when you make a donation. And these are significant donations. Like if you send $5 or a factor of 20,000 higher than that, you get a form letter thanking you. And so therefore, you got to ask yourself, why give them any money? Where does it go? Say, well, what do you want for the money? Aren't you trying to help the group? Yes, But you would think a personal letter from somebody once in a while wouldn't hurt. They have an organization. I don't. Thousands of you have contributed to the Savage Legal, the Savage Defense Fund. I've tried to thank you on the air. I don't have an organization. I'm alone. They are built for fundraising. I'm not. Well, most of the money that that I'm involved in donating is for animal groups and a few others. That's about it. Elephants, dogs. Why? Why? Because I think animals are innocent. Yes, I eat animals. That's different. It's a different story. And I don't think I have to discuss it with you. San Francisco, KNEW. Renee, welcome to the program.
Hi, Michael. Thank you very much for taking my call so quickly. I'm a little nervous. I wanted to make a comment with your last caller. And I have an 11-year-old Springer Spaniel. She was diagnosed with high-grade lymphoma. That was a year and a half ago. They told me she had weeks to months to live. They scared me. And
all right, so you put her on chemo and the dog lived. She's doing fine because you're breaking up a little.
Okay, I'm sorry. I went the holistic approach at first. We did acupuncture.
No, I'm asking you, did the dog live from the chemo? Is that it?
She is alive. She is happy. She is out.
Cured? The cancer's gone?
She is in clinical remission.
Good. Did you hear what I said to the caller? I said, I can't make that decision. You heard me say that, didn't you?
I did, and that's why I called in, because it was the best choice I ever made when it came to that point where we couldn't do it holistically anymore.
How much did it cost you? How much did it cost you?
We're about $7,000 into it.
Mm-hmm. Will Obamacare pay for pet chemo?
I wish that there was something that...
Well, I think that it's important that the Obamacare bill... free medical care for illegal aliens, free medical care for everyone in the world who wants to come here and have a cardiac transplant, a liver transplant. I believe that Obamacare should include pet care, mental health care, pet care, everything, because it's the right thing to do and you deserve it. Everybody deserves free everything from Obama. As you well know, it's all free. And as you well know, we're not a bankrupt nation. We have nothing but money. That is monopoly money, but we have loads of monopoly money.
Savage.
Warning, a Michael Savage show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Rock and Roll Friday in the Savage Nation, TGIF. Thank God you got through another week of Obama. And that's it. What should we talk about? The vacation, the luau? You don't want to talk about North Korea's threat, torture in Iran. That's not equal to Michael Jackson. The death of Michael Jackson is far more important as a news story, which is why the dictators of the world can get away with what they get away with, because the American people are stupid. This once great nation, unbelievable what's going on, what goes on in the world. Call me, that's all. Chicago, Tony, go ahead, you're up on the Savage. Oh, that's the wrong phone number already. Line 2, go ahead, Tony.
Yeah, Mikey, tell me about the Friday night fights in your days. And did you go to the corner store to buy the Ring magazine? Who do you got between Pacquiao and Mayweather? And if you think you can go 15 rounds with Obama?
I couldn't go one round with Obama. I'm not a fighter. I don't present myself as a fighter, Tony. I'm in a different side of the business, so to speak.
I know you love boxing, and but I want to know who...
Well, so you're asking me my opinion on Pacquiao versus Cotto?
How about Mayweather?
Mayweather's a great fighter. I saw him fight in Vegas. Pacquiao's very fast, though. I think Pacquiao's younger than Mayweather, isn't he?
I think so, sir.
I think Pacquiao would cut Mayweather a little bit, but I think that in the long run, if Mayweather could get a few shots in, he's going to knock him out.
Okay. And do you remember, who, pound for pound, who do you love as a fighter, pound for pound, the greatest, Mikey?
Over all the years, the best fighter of all time?
Yeah, in your opinion.
That's a great question. Well, I happen to be a fan of, I know people are going to get mad at me, but I think Michael Tyson was one of the greatest fighters of all time. In his heyday now. In his heyday. The man was a bulldozer. Nobody could stop him. Do you remember him in his early days?
Yes, sir.
Do you remember when he was 18, 19 years old, he would come out, he would cut people to ribbons in a few punches?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, I think you have to put him way up there. Now, there are many people who love Rocky Marciano. I don't know in today's world where Marciano would fare. What about you?
I think he was too small of a heavyweight. But what do you think of Sugar Ray Robinson, pound for pound?
Very smooth, very elegant, very fast, on the order of Muhammad Ali. I think, again, though, by today's standards, I don't think he would have withstood the brutality of the ring today.
Okay. I love you a lot, Mikey. Keep punching, and I know you can go 15 rounds with Obama.
Tony, I love you, man. Oh, real people. God, where are they? Where are the real people of America? That's why I'm telling you truthfully. Yesterday, after the show, I went home. I got on my bike. Just a side note, a little quickie. And I took a ride, and there was a woman who was deceptive looking, like from behind she looked younger. But then I noticed she had like a black garbage bag next to her. That threw it off a little bit. And then like when I went over to the coffee shop, I looked at her. She looked like Gravel Gertie, very like twisted, broken teeth. It was sad. So I said, all right, I said, how are you? I said, are you down on your luck a little bit? She had a dignity about her. And one thing led to another. I said, are you hungry? She wasn't begging. She didn't even ask for money. She says, well, I would like to eat. So I gave her $5. So don't think that I'm not cognizant of people in the world. I am. I see what goes on. I see that there are people out. All right. So I said, where are you from? You know, she said, originally from. She must have been, it's hard to say, 50. She looked 80, you know, that type. But you could see the life still in her, the life force. So I looked at her carefully and I said, where are you from originally? Southern California. And I said to her, were you a beach girl? She said, oh, yes, and I sure miss it. I knew right away what happened. Promiscuous, drugs, and here it is. Here it is, 30 years later with the black bag and the garbage bag. That's how it ends up. San Diego, Patrick, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Good afternoon, Michael. Thanks for taking my call. I personally want to say that the veneer is starting to slowly come off on Mr. Obama.
Wait. The what is happening?
The veneer is starting to slowly shed, sir.
Oh, the stucco is breaking off Obama's edifice, yes.
Absolutely. And a very good benchmark of this is an article today by Peggy Noonan, who, of course, voted for Obama, Reagan's ex-speechwriter. And she wrote a very good article today about how she's seeing through it and that he's trying to do way too much at one time.
Yeah, but Peggy Noonan is a Republican gal, nice lady, elegant, but... You know, she's so polite that she's out of touch with reality, in my opinion. She should have said this months ago when we were all seeing what was going on. Now she sees it all of a sudden. Why? Because she sees which way the wind blows, that his poll numbers went down, and it might be safe now for her to say something negative about Obama. She also wasn't invited to the White House anyway, despite kissing his behind. So now suddenly she's saying something negative. You think, I don't know how this works?
The great author Raymond Chandler once said something that embodies Peggy Noonan, and that is, you cannot be a great writer if you don't fall out of love with your own words. And she is so in love.
I have no idea what that means.
that to try to use too many eloquent words, you lose your point entirely.
Well, it's the same with talk show hosts. There's a few people out with English accents in radio, and they fill in for, like, the golfer. They're terrible on radio. They try to use big words, and they think that that's going to make people think they're intelligent. I learned a long time ago, talk simply but make sense. A lot of people use big words, but they don't make any sense. I know all the big words, okay? I don't have to use them to show you how smart I am. What do you have to do, impress people? I don't know. I don't feel like I'm into the show yet today. I don't feel a grip. I feel that the wheels, they're not spinning, but it's as though the split differential, one wheel is on the ground, the other wheel hasn't clicked, and there's something wrong with the differential today. Or if I put another analogy, I have a four-wheel drive car and I'm only in one wheel. I don't know what it is. There's no grip today. I don't feel a grip with the audience. Is it me? Is it you? Is it the time? You think I care about cap and trade? I know what it is that they're ramming through. If Pelosi and Reid and Nostrelman want it, there's only one reason. Trillions of dollars in graft and corrupt contracts. And who's going to stop them? The Republicans can't stop them. So that's number one. Number two is the death of Michael Jackson, which I can care less about. Why? I don't know him. I never met him. I didn't like his music. I didn't like his lifestyle on any level. I tend not to look up to people who get involved heavily with drugs. So what do you want me to do? Talk about that. And I think most of America is distracted with that. You want me to get serious about North Korea? I did already. I think it's a shame. It's heartbreaking to see the U.S. Navy reduced to what it is under Obama. You want to talk about Iran? Because Obama did nothing. The kids are being tortured over there. Tortured. Tortured right now. Ahmadinejad got fatter and stronger. The psycho old men mullahs got much more powerful because of Obama's inaction. And, you know, you say, well, what's the analogy? Is Obama evil? No, I don't think he's evil. I've said that to you before. I think he's a do-gooder, a classic college guy, smart enough to have used anything he could to get where he is. He had a secret machine behind him that launched him into the White House. He himself didn't believe that he won. He's acting at being the president. They're doing it as they go along. They're trying something every day to make it look presidential. They're trying their best. Do they mean well? No, any more than any other do-gooder means well. I don't think they mean well. I think that they mean well for their own agenda, not necessarily well for the nation called America and its freedoms. But having said that, I believe that this administration is going to wind up doing more harm than good. And the first rule of medicine is doctor, do no harm. I would apply the same thing to Obama, which is professor, first do no harm. But I don't think it would fall on live ears. I'll be right back. Savage.
My love must be a kind of blind love. I can't see anyone.
Inside the secret world of Bernie Madoff. You know that on Monday, Madoff gets sentenced by Judge Denny Chin. He could go to 150 years. His lawyer wants 12 years. But it came out today that Ruth Madoff, turn it off already, the wife of Ponzi schemer Bernie Madoff, will lose the couple $7 million Manhattan penthouse and the other homes in Palm Beach and the Hamptons and the cars and the boats. Many people say that, even her friends say that she had to know what was going on. I mean, you really believe she didn't know? Ruth Madoff, they say, is on, former friends and clients of the Madoffs say that Ruth had to have known her husband was running a Ponzi scheme. No, of course she did. What do you think? No, she didn't know where the money came from? Like Soprano's wife? I can't tell you because you'll be a co-conspirator? I told you I would have grilled the grandchildren. I would have rubber hosed the grandchildren to find out where the money was. You think they don't know where it is? What, they're immune? No, they earned the money themselves? I hope they work their way down the chain there and they get to the grandchildren. Waxman, I don't want to listen to Waxman. He makes me puke. His face alone makes me sick. What happened to a man's face? You know, the portrait of Dorian Gray, you know what that's about. Like, as you get older, your face starts to reflect who you are inside. Nostrelman's face tells me things about him I never wanted to know about human beings. Those distended nostrils, I don't want to hear him speak. Put him on for a second, or just for a second.
Henry, very much.
The gentleman suspend.
He stopped. Good, thank God.
The House will be in order.
So where was it? All right, God, they'll pass the bill. Good for them. Plenty of graft. So 12 years or 150 years he could get, and he's going to speak on Monday. But the wifey has to give up the houses and the jewelry and the this and the that and the cars. I'd like to buy some of those. I mean, I would never buy one of his houses. Do you ever want to live in Bernie Madoff's penthouse after he was in there? It's like a toxic waste dump of bad vibes. You could never clean up a place like that. Just the scheming is not even in the paint. The scheming went into the beams. I wouldn't want anything that he owned. Nothing. Zero. I don't know. The bone pickers are going to be around trying to pick it up there in Palm Beach. Next time I'm in Florida, I want to go into the hock shops in Palm Beach and see what's in there. The people are desperate what he cleaned them out for in those country clubs. Thank God I never wanted to be in a country club because I always listened to Groucho Marx, who said that any club that would have me, I wouldn't join. I mean, and he was right. Just think about the wisdom of Groucho Marx. And he said, any club that would have me as a member, I wouldn't want to join. How funny that was. But I've never liked country clubs. I always sensed that, and you can't generalize to, you can't only up to a certain point, but the country club clientele generally join for business reasons. Let us say the man is an insurance salesman. So he meets people he can sell insurance to. That makes sense. You know, or a lawyer joins a country club because he meets clients, whatever the business may be, and that's understandable. But I don't have a profession where I need to meet clients. You're my clients. So I don't really need to, you know, meet clients. And the idea of like talking to people after I talk for a living is absurd. So now you take Palm Beach, where it's all built upon fraud and deceit and posturing. And who was the top dog there? Bernie Madoff. You imagine the nose on that man up in the air when people came into that country club, how they thought he was God if they could get next to him. And look how he was robbing everybody. He was ripping them off. And Monday is his day in court. He's trying to get only 12 years. He's afraid that if he gets... See, here's the thing. It's not the 12 or the 150. Depending upon the length of the sentence, that will determine the type of jail he goes to. If it's a low sentence, he gets to a club med. A club fed, you know, the special foods, the religious ceremonies in order to get them off. But if they give him a long sentence, he goes into a very major league, you know, like Marion, Illinois, something terrible with ugly slush outside the window. And he doesn't want to go there. He's afraid to go there. No kidding. No, he's not afraid to go there. No, they're going to treat him with kid gloves over there. So I hope to God they throw the book at him and he goes to the worst prison in America. I do. I hope he goes to the worst prison in America. Because the man, what he did to people, he wiped them out, took them for everything. Many of them are living on Social Security. They have nothing. You could say, all right, they got what they deserved. I don't see it that way. Because all investors are hoping for a quick buck. It doesn't mean they're evil. It's the way people are. You have to understand that. What, people want to put money into an investment and lose money? They want to put it in an investment and think they're making money. How you can think you're making 10% a year for 10 years and not figure out something's wrong when everyone's losing money is the other story. The only person who did that was George Soros. 1-800-449-82. I know that the bill is no good. I know that. I don't want to talk about it. New York City, Eva, welcome to the Savage Nation. You're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, hi, Michael. Before, you said that Korea got their missile technology from China, but you didn't finish the sentence. Who did China get it from? They got it from
Bernie Schwartz, Clinton's major donor.
Clinton, right.
Well, it wasn't Clinton. It was Bernard Schwartz, who, in my opinion, should be investigated and tried for treason. Bernard Schwartz, during the Clinton era, was the biggest donor to the DNC. Bernard Schwartz started with a parking meter company in the Bronx, which he parlayed into Loral Space Technologies. He took United States proprietary technology. He got that technology to use to launch rockets for non-military usages. And he then shared that technology with China under the guise that it would never be used for military purposes. And we know where that led, right?
Exactly.
How do I know all of this? How do I know the whole story in my head without reading notes? How do you think I remember all these things? How? Because it's an important story. It's part of the American folklore of who did us in. In this case, it was Bernard Schwartz, in my opinion, directly tied to the wonderful, distinguished Nancy Pelosi machine.
Savage.
Nostrilman and Pelosi jammed through the global warming bill, and it was unread by anybody in Congress. Can you believe you're living in a nation like this, run by this woman? Can you believe that you are living in a nation run by a woman like this, run by a president like that, run by a Congress that doesn't read bills that are going to tax you to death that they didn't even read? I can't, and they wouldn't even permit debate on it. Can you believe you're living in a nation like this? It just passed the House 219 to 212. Now it goes over to the corrupt Senate. And they will, of course, argue over who can divide up the spoils over there before they decide how to pass it. They'll pass it, too, because there's so much money involved, which they don't have. I'll take the callers, 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Janet in Indiana, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, I'm calling because you remind me of my husband. And he's the person that...
Now, wait a minute. Hold on now. I mean, that can be taken so many different ways. I'm afraid of that call.
Well, don't...
I just want to clear the air. You and I never met in Argentina. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so how do I remind you of your husband?
Because he speaks his mind, and he doesn't always stop to... wonder how people are going to take him. He is who he is. And earlier in your show, you had mentioned, where are the real people of America? And I'm fortunate to be married to one.
Well, good for you, Janet. There are many, many men like your husband. They are not heard from. And that's a given. We don't have to add the other side to it. I thank you for noticing the difference. Look, if you're not outspoken, you shouldn't be in this business. If you have no strong, if your opinions are not strong, don't go into talk radio. And if you can't back up your strong opinions with facts, don't even bother trying because you're not going to get anywhere. That's all. And don't expect people to like you for expressing yourself. You know, the first thing to remember is you're going to make as many enemies, if not more, than you do friends in this business. And you have to be willing to live with the hate because there's a lot of it out there. And there's now a professional hate machine in the Obama White House. They have a very well-oiled hate machine, and the head of that hate machine are the people in Media Matters, in my opinion, an organization that would have been very comfortably ensconced in the Stalinist period in the Soviet Union. They monitor political conservatives. They take statements that we make out of context. They broadcast them so that people can try to lambast us based upon out-of-context statements. And that is why we have gotten their tax records, since they're a 501c3, and there's a large group now of conservative intellectuals who are doing an expose that I don't know when it's going to be out, that will disclose who they are, what their names are, how much money they make, and where the money comes from. When that comes out, they will find out that although they like to throw brickbats and they like to hide in the dark in the sewers in which they dwell, once they become public figures, and once people know what their names are and how much money they make, they will find out what it is like to be a public figure. Whether the Republicans will ever be able to challenge their IRS status and take away their 501c3 status if it is found out that they are a political group, which is what they are, in my opinion. I don't think you understand nonprofits, and I don't want to waste your time with it. It's technically very easy to follow. If you have a nonprofit group and you engage in any way in political work, you will lose your nonprofit status. Now, how can you tell me that Media Matters, which only focuses on conservatives in the media, only tries to undermine Michael Savage and others in the conservative side of the media, how can you tell me they're not a political group? As such, if we had a fair-minded IRS, they'd be investigated, and if and when they are found guilty of engaging in political activities, they would lose their nonprofit status. That's my opinion. Will it happen? I don't know. It should happen. What do you want to talk? Don't call me on this because this is a topic that's off the beaten path. Leprechaun should be doing this. Wallbanger should be doing this. Golfers should be doing this. I don't know what in the world they're doing with their time. They should be going after the people who are trying to destroy them. But I guess because I'm the largest target, they like it. I don't know. I really don't know where they're coming from. Pittsburgh, Dan, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, you talked last fall about old-time movies, and I want to know if you're into old-time radio shows at all.
I don't listen to them. I've had people send me my friends, you know, like the Green Hornet and all that. Why, you love them?
Oh, I got into them about, like I said, fall, and a whole bunch of them. Actually, like, there was one, I was a communist for FBI, talks a lot about communism and kind of like what's going on now.
Oh, yeah, well, we have some of that stuff. They were very dramatic. They were very, very dramatic. I don't listen to them very much. I have enough trouble just listening to the media. The idolizing of degenerate drug addicts and sex maniacs is all the media seems to spend. Everything you turn on is another druggie in rehab, another sex maniac with another expose. I tried this, I tried that, and I'm in rehab. That's the whole media is obsessed with it. Where it ends, anybody know? Well, I think it's already ended. It ends already with Obama as president. Where do you want to go from here? Where do you want to go from here? It ended with him. That's how it happened. Man beaten for stealing a sip in Bernal Park dies. Oh, this is local news. State seeks closure of unlicensed surgical centers. Another scam. Bankrupt state. A bankrupt state of California under Schwarzenegger, they won't close the emergency rooms to illegal aliens. You hear this? They instead lay off state workers, which is no great loss. They don't do anything anyway, most of them. If they worked one day a month, they can get the same work done. I am so bored with the news right now. You can hear it, too. Do we have anything to play you that may entertain you? What do we have to entertain them? Inhofe says it's outrageous that we have to read rights to terrorists. Not interesting. Obama responds to a question about apologizing to Ahmadinejad for the comments made about Iran. Okay, let's listen to clip one. Go ahead.
I had a response to his call for you to apologize, or if he should apologize for calling you someone like Bush.
Yeah, I don't take Mr. Ahmadinejad's statements seriously about apologies, particularly given the fact that the United States has gone out of its way not to interfere with the election process in Iran. And I'm really not concerned about Mr. Ahmadinejad apologizing to me. I would suggest that Mr. Ahmadinejad think carefully about the obligations he owes to his own people.
You hear this nonsense?
And he might want to consider looking at the families of those who've been beaten or shot or detained. That's where I think...
Did you ever hear such weak?
And others,
did you ever hear such weak rhetoric in your life?
Answer their questions.
Stop! You know this is getting nauseating. I suggest that Mr. Hitler take into consideration the obligations he has to the people he's put into the concentration camps. I believe Mr. Hitler should look at the families of those beaten, shot, or detained, and that's where Mr. Hitler needs to focus and answer their questions. I've never heard anything like this. I feel as though I'm living in a mad world, an insane world. Wait, and if you think this is bad with passing a socialized medicine bill, passing now a global warming bill, he's not through. He's just getting warmed up. Next, he's going to grant amnesty to illegal aliens. Go take a look at your local city or your town. Go take a ride through Florida and tell me what it looks like. Take a ride through San Francisco. Tell me what it looks like. Take a ride through Los Angeles and tell me what it looks like. Take a ride through Chicago. Tell me what it looks like. Take a ride through New York. Tell me what it looks like. Because the day he grants amnesty to the 30 million illegal aliens and all of their families, that's the day that you better pack up your suitcases and take a ticket to another nation, because you're not going to be living in America anymore. Now, don't interpret that as racism. Interpret that as a man who loves the rule of law, okay, because that's what I do. Here is Obama pushing ahead madly on launching amnesty for illegal aliens. Clip two.
We have just finished what I consider to be a very productive meeting on one of the most critical issues that I think this nation faces, and that is an immigration system that is broken and needs fixing. We have members of Congress from both chambers.
Okay, now he needs to fix it. Now, as you well know, the road to you know where is paved with good intentions. And he is irresponsible if he is suggesting that he's going to fix the immigration system by granting amnesty to 30 million illegal aliens. It is astounding to me that this man is so confident that he can get away with this. Listen to clip six.
I'm confident that if we enter into this with the notion that this is a nation of laws that have to be observed, and this is a nation of immigrants, then we're going to create a stronger nation for our children and our grandchildren.
All right, you're right, Mr. Obama. If we're a nation of laws, all the illegal immigrants need to be deported because they broke the law in coming in here. So you're double talking as usual. So you see why it's so difficult to talk about issues on the Savage Nation. There are issues that are very important to you and the nation. But the fact of the matter is we have the most corrupt gangster-like regime that has ever run America. And they're running as fast as they can to pass as many corrupt bills as they can in order to rob you and your children of their futures. That's my opinion. What's yours? I'll be right back. Savage.
Come with me, my love, to the sea of love. I want to
so the dodos in Congress, the extinct species of humans that we call our leaders, I don't know, are they on drugs? Are they whacked out on drugs, most of them, prescription drugs or others? They pass a bill on global warming based upon fraudulent science that is an economic wrecking, a wrecking machine, a wrecking ball. If you actually study, let's start with global warming itself. It's based upon the propaganda put forward by the biggest liar in the century, Al Gore. Al Gore comes up with the big lie that anthropogenic warming is destroying the atmosphere. Yet scientists have not reached a consensus on this issue. In fact, the best minds of our generation concur that we are actually in a phase of global cooling. But the radical leftist morons in the Democrat Party jammed through a bill this afternoon as though there are no economic costs, and they lie saying it's going to create jobs again. Now, Obama lied to you when he said 3 million jobs. He's not produced 3 million jobs. In fact, I don't know any jobs that have been created by Obama. He was a liar then, he's a liar now, and he's a liar tomorrow. Pelosi gets up and lies and says it's going to create millions of jobs, and you believe that garbage? The fact of the matter is, the legislation passed today by the corrupt ignoramuses in the Democrat Party is flawed from top to bottom. It is going to not only cost you a lot of money, but it's going to cost lots of jobs. Now, here's the actual estimates. I don't want to bore you with facts because people tune out when you say that to them. It will further harm the manufacturing sector in the United States of America, which is already in trouble. It will cause a loss of about 1.1 million jobs between 2012 and 2030. The overall gross domestic product losses would average about $390 billion a year from 2012 to 2035. I could go on and on. But the national debt for a family of four would increase by $115,000 by 2035. These are actual studies, and that was passed just now by Pelosi, Obama, and Reid. This is not a matter of fairness. This is a matter of liberal propagandists, liberal ideology, and secular humanist worldviews. Period. End of story. So I did talk about it. There's nothing more to say about it. The fact of the matter is Obama knows his poll numbers are slipping, and that is why he and his cronies are trying to jam through as much of this draconian legislation as possible, as fast as possible, in order to make certain that the corrupt Democrat machine has enough money to live on for the next century. There is nothing else I can say about this. And that's why it's so hard to do a radio show today. There's no longer a legitimate debate going on in this country on any issue. If there had been legitimate debate, Al Gore would have permitted people to debate him. Do you know that Al Gore has never appeared at a forum where legitimate scientists could debate him on the issue of so-called global warming? He is a propagandist and a businessman. He is the very thing that he claims he isn't. Let's not forget who Al Gore is. Al Gore's father was Senator Gore. What did Senator Gore do after he retired from the U.S. Senate? He became, I believe, the president of the Occidental Coal Company. So in other words, the very thing Al Gore tells you he isn't, he actually is. Al Gore, when he was a little boy, lived on his father's income. Where did his father's income come from? The Occidental Coal Company. So don't you see how this really works? Don't you understand that this is all a scam? San Francisco, KNEW. Dan, welcome to the program. Dan, welcome to the program. You're on the Savage Nation, Gone with the Wind. That's okay. Things happen. It's Friday afternoon. They want to go away. Chris, Chicago, welcome to the program.
Thank you for taking my call, Dr. Savage. This is Chris. I'm a combat vet of Afghanistan. I was curious on your view of Obama cutting the military refreshing rate and, you know, investing in new arms and that whole scenario.
Obama's going back to the Jimmy Carter school of military funding, which is to gut the military from the spending point of view. Cut as much money as he can in new weapons delivery systems. This is exactly what the British socialist pacifists did in the 1930s. Just as Hitler was rearming and building up his armies, the British socialists were trying to cut the British military. Fortunately for the British people and for the Western world, there was a Winston Churchill who continued to get funding for the development of weapon systems. In that day, it was the Spitfire fighter. Was it not for Churchill and the development of weapon systems such as the Mustang, Britain would have fallen. The Spitfire, excuse me. Britain would have fallen to Nazi Germany, and we may have lost World War II.
I agree with you, Michael. I got to ask you, what can I do as, you know, a regular person now? Is there anything I can do?
No. No. If I were a liar, I would say write your congressman, but you don't have one.
No, I don't.
No longer have representative government in America. If we ever did, it's long gone. We are basically vassals. We are vassals in a vassal state. Thank you for the call. I'm sorry to be that pessimistic. We are nothing but peons now. Vassals in the vassal state of the corrupt Pelosi, Reid, Obama machine. Whatever they want, they're going to get. No matter how draconian it may be, no matter how destructive it may be, they're going to jam it through. The American people have become powerless and voiceless and voteless. And if you think it's bad now, you are right. And if you think this is as bad as it's going to get, you are wrong. Acorn, remember them? There was supposed to be an investigation of them by John Conyers. What happened? It was called off because the White House said, don't investigate Acorn. They engaged in ballot stuffing. They engaged in having dead people vote. They engaged in having illegal aliens vote. That is why we have the government that we have. And if you think that's bad, you're right. But it's only the beginning, because the day Obama grants amnesty to 30 million illegal aliens, you will have a corrupt socialist Democrat machine for the rest of the century. Think Mexico, and that's the projection for what America will become. Mexico is a terrible country, and America will soon be as bad as Mexico, unless by some stroke of fate, or by some stroke of luck, or by some act of God, America will be saved. If it stays on the course that is being driven on now by Obama and his minions, there is no hope for this country. That's one man's opinion. It's what I would say to my family in the privacy of my own home, and it's what I have to say to you in the privacy of our conversation. I'm not doing it because I think you want to hear it. I mean, I could tell you, write your congressman or write your senator or, you know, H.R. 90102 and send the bill and blah, blah. It's not going to matter. They just jammed through one of the worst bills of the century. They voted on it unread. They did not read their own bill. It was pushed by the psychos in the Democrat Party, despite the fact there is no scientific consensus that there is even such a thing as man-caused global warming. There has been no debate, ladies and gentlemen. This is a sad day for a once great nation. All you can do is become philosophical. And that philosophical approach may give you some comfort. And that the one that I use is tend your own garden. Tend your own garden. It's an old saying that I think comes out of the Buddhist tradition. It may actually come from the Christian tradition. All religions basically teach you that. At a certain point, you have to turn inward. Tend your own garden. Take care of yourself. Take care of your wife. Take care of your children. Take care of your property. That's all you can do, because right now we have a rogue government that is functioning as though there is not a democracy in this nation. It is a government that is run as though it's government anarchy itself. We now have an anarchist running America, which is exactly what happened before the collapse of Italy in the 1930s.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Raising the cost of energy is a bad idea in prosperous times. Raising a national energy tax in the worst recession in a generation is a profoundly bad idea. But for anyone looking in, Madam Speaker, let me say we are in the minority, as we have been reminded with some firmness in this debate on occasion today. We don't have the votes to stop this bill, but you do. If you oppose a national energy tax, call your congressman right now. If you think we can do better to serve the interests of the American people and achieve energy independence within all of the above strategy, call your congressman right now. Alexander Hamilton said it best. Here, sir, the people govern. We can stop this bill. We can do better. And so we must.
Whoa, that was Congressman Mike Pence. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for the living legend Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. My friends, there you have it. Obama's socialist revolution has now won another major victory. Michael, I want to thank you once again, my friend, for the honor and the privilege of filling in and really in your legendary shoes. Thank you so much for all of you out there. Go to michaelsavage.com. There's some just wonderful stories up there about global warming, the hoax of global warming, and just other great stories. You know, my friends, I'm very depressed. I'm not going to lie to you. I've been, working at the Washington Times for many years, covered a lot of pieces of legislation, cover the White House, cover Capitol Hill. This truly is one of the most chilling, destructive pieces of legislation in American history. What we are now witnessing, without question, is a full-scale socialist assault on the very fabric of the United States. And make no bones about it. This bill is going to transform America's economy and the American society. This is something that Barack Obama has been working on, not just for the last couple months, but for years. This is something that the prophet, allegedly, Al Gore, has been pushing and peddling for the last 15 years about the supposed crisis of global warming. And Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid and all of the other leftists in Congress are now looking to ram this thing right down our throat. And the vote today was 219 to 212. They literally got it in by the skin of their teeth. And my friends, let me give an exclusive now to the Savage Nation. Been working the phones all day today. Here is what I found out. A lot of key farm state rural Democrats did not want to vote for this bill because they know perfectly well this is going to be the biggest tax increase in America's history. Now, I'm choosing my words very carefully here. It is the biggest tax increase in America's history because what they have to do to make this bill a reality is they have to drive up the costs of gasoline, oil, and electricity. That's the only way you can control carbon emissions. That's something the left has been dreaming about for decades. What they want to do is they want you to stop driving your cars. They want to make it so expensive for you to pay for your heating bills and to use electricity that you're going to use their bogus renewable energy sources, whatever, solar, wind power. They come up with a new one every day. And so what's going to happen from this piece of legislation is, you mark my words, because we've seen it already in Europe and we've seen it in England. This bill, this global warming bill, this cap and trade bill, which is really tax and kill, it raises taxes, and it kills jobs, is going to result in at least $3,000 more in prices and in costs for the average family of four. Your grocery bill is going to go up. Your gas bill is going to go up. Your heating bill is going to go up. Anything that's produced by energy is going to go up. Food is going to go up. Everything is going to go up. This is what they're doing to you. And you know what? They're doing it to you not for some national security reason. We're not. It's not as if it's World War II. We're in a time of war. God forbid everybody has to sacrifice, pay higher taxes or whatever to fund the military. No, this is being done on the basis of the greatest fraud and myth that has been perpetrated upon the American public for centuries. There is no such thing as global warming, or at least man-made global warming. Scientists have irrevocably proven that. Temperature goes up, temperature goes down. That's the natural state of mankind. Now, with liberals like Al Gore and George Soros and Barack Hussein Obama, Comrade Obama, what the socialists don't understand and what they can't answer is this. If global warming is so supposedly man-made, if it's all because of we're driving our cars and trucks and SUVs and all, we're emitting all these gases into the air, explain to me one thing, and I really have to give credit to Dr. Savage on this, the legend, because as usual, he was right. And this is the analogy that he's used, and I've used it in debates, and they can't answer it. When there was the Ice Age, there weren't human beings on the Earth. It melted. So we had massive global cooling and massive global warming. And there weren't any human beings to have caused it. That's the pattern of life. That's the pattern of the Earth's atmosphere. So what we're now doing is they're engaging us in a massive social engineering experiment with your money on your wallet. And they're going to control vast sectors of the economy. They're going to control the refining industry, coal, factories, manufacturers, businesses. Everybody's got to start buying these permits if the Senate and Obama sign this bill, if it passes the Senate and Obama signs it. This is going to transform. It's going to make us into a green economy. It is going to be another nail in the coffin that is traditional America. It will destroy capitalism. It will destroy the free market. It will destroy our economy. And it will continue to launch the revolution that Obama eventually wants us to take us to. And you know what that is? It is France. It is Sweden. It is Europe. We will become a European socialist nanny state. They want to destroy the Constitution. They want to destroy everything that we have built for the last 200 years. And my friends, let's make no mistake about it. No mistake about it. America is the greatest, richest, most prosperous country in the world. Not because of the socialists, not because of big government, not because of a command and control economy, but because of a free market capitalist economy. That has been the secret to our success. And now, as we are the richest country in the world, the greatest superpower that the world has ever seen, we bestride the globe like a colossus. Our power is envied. Literally, we dwarf Britain, the British Empire, ancient Rome, the great Persian Empire. None of them can compare to us because of the incredible wealth that our capitalist economy has been able to generate. We are now committing national suicide. And as this is going on, I was making calls on Capitol Hill. Do you know what these socialist thugs were doing? You want to know the kind of people Barack Obama and Nancy Pelosi are? Here's what some Democrats told me on anonymity. They were being bribed. Pelosi and Steny Hoyer, the House Majority Leader, and people from the Obama administration were calling up these rural Democrats, blue dog Democrats, conservative Democrats, who know that their states and their constituents are going to get hosed. They're going to get literally milked in by this bill. They were coming and saying, what do you want? What bridge do you want? What school do you want? What pork project do you want? What government grant do you want? You name it. Literally, here's what one congressman said to me. They said to me, quote, name your price. My friends, this is the kind of corruption that is not worthy of a free republic. This is the kind of corruption that is not worthy of a democracy. Now, maybe Comrade Obama and Nancy Pelosi didn't get the message. They didn't get the memo. But this is not Venezuela. This is not Castro's Cuba. This is not Putin's Russia. We don't start calling people, strong-arming them, and then saying, you know what, how much money do you need? What do you need for you to betray your conscience? And let me just say this, my friends, to all of those Democrats, especially those conservative blue dog Democrats, shame on you. Shame on you for betraying your constituents, for betraying their interests, and for betraying your country. Because now, right now, you have put a stake into the heart of the American economy. You are burying this country. And so now, my friends, it's going to go into the Senate. And in the Senate, there is going to be a dogfight. Already, Senate Majority Whip Richard Durbin, Illinois Democrat, another Obama henchman, is openly bragging that with the victory in the House, he believes he can galvanize and strong arm enough Senate Democrats to ram it through and have this thing on Obama's desk for his signature. Obama is dreaming about this bill. It will make him, quote, in his mind, the green president, the environmental president. He will have accomplished what only Al Gore and John Kerry and Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton could dream of. He has transformed us into a socialist environmentalist state. And so now we have to stand up as conservatives like we have never stood up before and say loudly and clearly and unequivocally, no, we will not allow you to take away our country. No, you will not be allowed to take away our jobs. No, you will not be allowed to take away our freedoms. Now is the time for a conservative counter-revolution. Because, my friends, if you start looking at what's going on here, there's not going to be much left to protect. As we stand right now, we are what? In the fifth month of Comrade Obama's socialist revolution. Here's what they've accomplished. They now own the banks. They now own the financial institutions. They now own large sectors of the economy. They own the car industry for the most part. They now want to own your health care. They own your pensions. They now are slowly coming after you in terms of owning almost every aspect of your life. What is there left? What's left? What's left? Now with this bill, they're commanding almost complete control over the American economy through government mandates and regulation. There's nothing left. So, my friends, if you want to speak out on this, I want to hear from you. This is Jeff Kuhner sitting in for the living legend Michael Savage. Do you think this climate bill can be stopped? Can conservatives come back? Is this the triumph of socialism? 1-800-449-8255. 1-800-449-8255. This is Jeff Kuhner sitting in for the legend Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Savage. This is Jeff Kuhner from the Washington Times filling in for the living legend Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. If you want to call, the number is 1-800-449-8255. We're talking about the climate bill that has just been passed by the House Democrats. Do you think it's a good thing? Do you think it's a bad thing? I want to hear from you. Let's go to Israel in Philadelphia. Israel, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. During the campaign, President Obama said that he wasn't going to raise anyone's taxes for anyone who made less than $250,000. He said they wouldn't go up a dime. So with this new cap and tax that's happening, is he going to be held accountable for this? Was this just a flat-out lie? Was this just a promise that he's not going to be able to keep? Or, you know, what? How is he going to be held
Israel, look, you make an excellent point. You make an absolutely excellent point. This is a thinly disguised, massive tax increase on the American people. Now, look, thank the Lord, it's just been passed in the House. So it still hasn't been passed in the Senate. But this is a point that Republicans should be making. And to their shame, they didn't make it. Now, look, most Republicans, I think almost unanimously voted against it. Good. At least they're starting to get some kind of a spine. But again, look how weak and ineffective they are. My God, you can riddle this thing with holes. It's so flawed. And yet they come up with one weak argument after another. Look, this is a massive, massive tax increase. Obama is a liar. That's it. That's all you need to say. So hopefully somebody out there is listening. Let's quickly go to Imona in Sacramento. Imona, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hello. Okay. Well, I'm just dumbfounded by this bill. And what I would like to know, to sort of cut to the chase here, is, what can we do to not only to, encourage people to oppose this from passing the Senate, but to mobilize those. Now, unfortunately, when things remain at a partisan level, it doesn't get anywhere. But I think if a level-headed Democrat could see this wolf in sheep's clothing, that they too would oppose it.
Imona, it's very simple. I'll tell you right now how you break this bill. You go to places like Wyoming, North, South Dakota, Texas, West Virginia, the rural states where they produce corn, produce coal, oil, gas. They're going to be crushed. They're going to be crushed. And you start shaming those Democrats. That's all you have to do. You start shaming those Democrats. And you say, you know what? This is what they've done to you. Now, do you want your senator to do the same thing? And if we do that, if we come out and expose the fact that this is going to hit energy-producing states the most, it's going to hit agricultural states the most, this is a war on the American heartland. Make no mistake about it. And if we expose that, we will break the Democrats in half. So we can get independents, we can get conservative Democrats, and we can get Republicans. This thing, if all we, sunlight is the best disinfectant. All we have to do is speak truth to power. If we speak truth to power, if we just write emails to each other, write letters to the editor, if we just make a lot of noise about this, believe me, this bill will be stopped. But now it's up to us. This is Jeff Cooner, sitting in for the living legend Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. We'll be right back. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Do you think the climate change bill the House Democrats have just passed is a good thing or a bad thing for America? I want to hear from you. 1-800-449-8255. 1-800-449-TALK. Let's go to Jim in Albany. Jim, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, I see this firsthand. I measure emissions for a power plant, a couple of power plants, and the American people have no clue how much this is going to cost them.
It is staggering.
The technology isn't even there to reduce it, and the way they're doing it with the cap and trade is the way they do it with other pollutants now. If we're both allowed, you and I are allowed to emit 100 tons, just say, and I only emit 75 tons, I can sell you my other 25 tons. What does that reduce? Nothing.
Exactly. No. And here's the thing, Jim. This is where I thought, again, Dr. Savage, very few people make the point that he made. And it's a brilliant point. It's not only destructive. It's not only a sham. But it's even worse than that. It's going to be a recipe for massive, massive corporate and government corruption. Because the whole essence of cap and trade are these silly pollution permits. So you got to start selling them. You got to start giving them to one another. Do you have too many? Do you not have enough? Do you know the kind of money people are going to make on that sort of thing? And the kind of influence you can use with that? I mean, literally, companies' livelihoods are going to be based on those permits. So, I mean, the massive boondoggle, this is a huge government boondoggle. The corruption from this is going to be immense. It is another sham. And so to me, the question is, when is enough is enough? When have we had enough? I mean, he insults us by not standing up for those protesters in Iran. Obama goes to Cairo. and grovels to the Muslim world. Look at him now in the face of North Korea, in face of that madman, as he threatens to launch a nuclear annihilation against us. And he stands there again, passive. He now wants to nationalize our healthcare system. He now is going to literally create a green economy. He's going to pass the greatest tax in American history. He has now put $3.5 trillion budget down our throat, $2 trillion in deficit just this year. He's going to double the national debt. He's going to add more debt under his administration than 43 presidents before him. He is burying this country. He is bankrupting this country. When are we going to say enough is enough? That to me is the question. But hey, look, Michael Jackson is dead. That's all the media wants to talk about. So if my, you know what? Sorry, don't bother me. I gotta look into Michael Jackson and see, did he die of Demerol? Did he die of a heart attack? Was he a child molester? Was he not a child molester? That's what we're obsessed with right now. Frankly, that's the problem in America. Let's go to Susan in Chicago. Susan, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Jeff. I think this is going to be extremely difficult to defeat in the Senate. You see Dick Durbin, Barack Obama, Rahm Emanuel come right out of the Chicago political machine. And here in Illinois, we have a culture of dishonesty, a culture of vote buying, and a dictatorial one-party rule. And I'm really sorry to see this Illinois cancer spread to the national level.
Susan, you hit the nail right on the head. This is something that I was warning about the entire summer and fall of 2008. I said the American conservatives, and especially Republicans, are underestimating Barack Obama. They're painting him as a sort of sophomore, crazy radical professor. And yes, he's that on one level, but on a more fundamental level, he is a typical Chicago political thug. He is a guy who knows how to roll his opponents, and he's been rolling everybody. And I've been saying this to conservatives and Republicans now for over a year. I was one of the first pundits in Washington. I'm not trying to stroke my ego. I'm just laying out the facts. I said he is going to beat Hillary Clinton because I spoke to people in Clinton's campaign, and they said, you don't understand something. Underneath the veneer of his supposed academic polish and his cool rhetoric lies a political killer. This man is a killer. He is a thug, and he knows how to wield power. Look at him now, systematically, piece by piece. He's already pretty much done more now than Franklin Roosevelt ever did over 12 years in a New Deal. Now think about that. So when are we going to wake up and stop? Look, I can't stand the guy. I disagree with everything this guy stands for. But I'm not going to stand and put my head in the sand and say this guy is not a juggernaut. They are rolling us piece by piece. And what they did in the House, they're going to try to do in the Senate. You mark my words. He's going to get Rahm Emanuel, as you pointed out, David Axelrod, the whole Chicago boys, Dick Durbin, and they're going to go to one Democrat after another and say, name your price. Name your price. What do you want? Now, what is the difference between that and what they used to do 100 years ago when there was bribery and corruption on Capitol Hill, where they came literally in brown paper bags and threw it on the desk and say, okay, now I want your vote. What's the difference? Except it's legalized corruption. That's what's so sickening about big government liberalism. They take your money, your hard-earned money, and they say, we're going to throw it in one boondoggle after another to buy votes. That, to me, if you want to know the real cancer of liberalism, that's what it is. My friends, I want to also quickly talk about North Korea. We're running up against the clock, but it's a very important issue. What's been going on in Pyongyang is also something that is of immense, immense importance. We are now being attacked domestically within by a radical, ferocious, amoral socialist agenda. And yet these very same socialists, Barack Hussein Obama, Hillary Clinton, Harry Reid, Nancy Pelosi, are selling us out in our foreign policy. And the biggest sellout that's occurring right now is exactly what Dr. Savage talked about. It is what is going on the Korean Peninsula. As we speak, that madman, Kim Jong-il, that Stalinist dictator who enslaves his people, has starved over 1 million North Koreans to death, has gulags all across his country. It is so poor, I kid you not, I couldn't make this up. They turn the electricity off at night. The entire country has no electricity. And he sits there in his palace watching Swedish porn and drinking a J&B whiskey. That's Kim Jong-il. This madman is now threatening to annihilate the United States and South Korea. He is now openly declaring that if we enforce the UN sanctions against North Korea, imposed after his last test of a nuclear bomb, he will then rain nuclear missiles upon South Korea, Japan, and he is now building a long-range missile to target Hawaii and maybe even the western coast of the United States. My friends, he is a Korean Hitler. There is no other way to put it. He is somebody who clearly is out of control, who is evil to the very core, who despises the United States, and now poses a clear and present danger to the United States of America. And unless we stand up to him and say to him once and for all, there will now be serious consequences to your actions. We will no longer tolerate you launching missiles, you testing nuclear bombs, and you threatening to annihilate us with nuclear weapons. Now there'll be a price to be paid. The next time you test a missile, we will destroy it right on the launching pad. Every ship that comes in and out of North Korea, we will board. And if we find nuclear equipment or weapons, we will take them. And then we're going to come after your regime. We are now declaring that the policy of the United States is regime change. And we are calling for the North Korean people to rise up against this cruel, brutal, sick dictatorship. And we will do everything in our power to support any kind of democracy movement within North Korea. And we will squeeze this regime until it bleeds. But rather than doing that, that coward in the White House stands back and again practices appeasement. Again stands back and does nothing. Again blinks in the face of adversity. This is a man who truly believes that if you extend an open hand to a clenched fist, that that clenched fist will open up into a handshake. And what he is now learning in North Korea, and what he is now learning on the streets of Tehran, with every protester that they kill, with every bullet that the mullahs fire, with every student that they beat, with every journalist that they imprison, they are revealing Barack Hussein Obama as a weak paper tiger of a president who doesn't understand how the world works. You extend an open hand to a clenched fist, they smash your face with it. And right now, they are smashing the face of every Iranian protester on the street. And soon, Kim Jong-il will take his giant nuclear fist and smash it against the South Korean peninsula and against the American people, unless we now rise up. So my friends, I have to stress this to all of you. Let us now, as conservatives, say clearly and unequivocally, we champion democracy and human rights. We champion capitalism at home and strength abroad. That is now our motto. It worked under Ronald Reagan. It can work again. And now all we need is for a heir to Reagan, a conservative hero, to arise among us. Reagan's crown is in the gutter. It is now waiting for somebody to pick it up. It is now waiting for somebody to speak for conservative values, to stand up to Barack Obama and say, you, sir, are a coward and somebody who is betraying the United States, and I will no longer stand for it. When we get that kind of leadership, I believe the country was now ready to galvanize behind it. Let's quickly go to another call. Let's go to Jeremy in Pennsylvania. Jeremy, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Well, on the North Korean thing, I really don't believe the idea that China is worried about the dollar crashing. I don't think they care one way or another. If they lose 5% of their economy, well, that just means they get to starve out some people. And, you know, the North Korean thing, they're just testing to see how far they can go. If we push Kim Jong-il and he starts blowing off nuclear weapons, I really don't think China cares one way or another. They'll just cut off the dollar. They'll shut off the tap.
Jeremy, you're exactly right. The Chinese do not care, and here's why. I had the privilege several years ago of interviewing several prominent Chinese dissidents, people who have been imprisoned, beaten, and tortured in China's gulags. And let me tell you what every one of them, to man and woman, told me. And this is something that I believe every American needs to hear. What they said to me was this: Mr. Cooner, the Chinese come to America and they tell you they want engagement, they want investment, they want trade. But at home, day after day in their state-run newspapers and their state-run television, they are saying, we will bury the United States, that America's days are numbered. We are the next superpower. We are the next global hegemon, as they put it. We are the ones who will now be the center of the world. It will be no longer America. And as they openly say in private to one another and on their state-run television, they believe that we are now a bankrupt, decadent nation, that our best days are behind us, that they are strong and we are weak, that they are growing wealthier by the day. And so to them, Kim Jong-il, he's not somebody they want to rein in. They could have turned a tap on this guy years ago. 90% of Kim Jong-il's oil comes from China. 50% of his food. The Chinese could turn the tap off today and that regime would fall. They like him because he is a thorn in our side. And Kim Jong-il is now humiliating the United States on the world stage. And rather than standing up to him, that coward in the White House stands there with his modeling and walking around on the beach with his chest showing off his pecs. And today he comes out with a statement on Michael Jackson. Look, forget about Michael Jackson, okay? Forget about Michael Jackson. I don't even think he was that good of a singer. You want to know the truth? I'm sick and tired of all these media people going on about how great Michael Jackson was. He wasn't. You really want to know what Michael Jackson was? He was a drug addicted. That's what he blew through $1 billion of his own money. This is the thing that I'm looking for the media to report this. $1 billion. He spent $650 million on his crazy shopping sprees, and then he borrowed the rest. And this is the guy that we're deifying? This is the guy that we're celebrating? Why? Because he had a few lousy albums? Look, I'm sorry, but we have lost our priorities. And we have that clown in the White House. Oh, he's cool. He's chic. Michael Jackson, my condolences go out to the family. He was an American icon, a cultural icon. My God, the world loves him. We'll never forget him. Oh, no, listen, look, forget about Michael Jackson, okay? Think of Kim Jong-il, okay? Think of that little short lunatic madman in Pyongyang. You know what? Just for a second, it's not about you, Barack Obama. You know what? I know we live in a celebrity culture, but it's not about you. It's about you defending the American people. It's about you putting America first. And maybe if you try it, just maybe, you may be a successful president. I'm Jeff Cooner, sitting in for the Savage, for Michael Savage here on the Savage Nation. I want to hear from you, 1-800-449-8255. Are we being tough enough on North Korea? Again, this is Jeff Cooner, sitting in for the living legend Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Savage. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for the living legend Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Boy, I can't believe how just quickly time flew. We're down really to our last segment, just a couple of minutes. Michael, I want to thank you again so very much for this wonderful, wonderful opportunity and honor to fill in for you. You have a wonderful audience, and you've put together, I think, one of the greatest radio shows in the history of talk radio. You truly, truly are a living legend. And I have to tell you, every day you seem to get, if it's possible, you get better, you get more courageous. And I want to thank you in particular for speaking out against Obama, for fighting for American values, for fighting for the national security of this country. And I have to say, I am very worried about the future of this country. I do believe in the end that America will prevail, because we've always prevailed. And it's because of the heartland. It's because of the backbone of this country. People like you out there who listen to Michael Savage, the Savage Nation, people who drive our trucks, who are our doctors, our nurses, our policemen, our Marines, our military people who serve this country every day. get up every day, work hard, raise your families, love your friends, love your country. You are the ones that have made this country great. And to me, as long as America has people like you, as long as this country has that conservative backbone where people believe in faith, family, and freedom, where people understand that being an American is the greatest gift that anybody, any people on earth could ever have. It is the greatest privilege and the greatest honor. Because for whatever is happening on Capitol Hill, still, to this day, for all the problems that confront us, we are still the freest, richest, and greatest country in the history of the world. And what we conservatives want more than anything else is to keep it that way. And I truly believe that when everything is said and done, when the American people wake up and rise up to what is happening, when they realize that they are now being taxed, they are now seeing their children's future being mortgaged, that they are now seeing us surrender our values and our interests to the mullahs in Tehran and to the dictators in Pyongyang, that eventually the American people, as they did under Jimmy Carter, will come to their senses, and the deep reservoirs of patriotism that have been championed by people like Savage on this show, of language, borders, and culture, that fundamental conservative triumvirate, those fundamental values, that holy trinity, is going to sustain us, and the real America is going to emerge again. And so I just really want to stress this to all of you, my friends, that yes, these are tough times, these are bleak times, but also remember they're great times, because it is only in adversity that courage is formed. It is only in adversity that character is built. And the Savage Nation is about one thing. It's about rewarding character, because it is character that made America great. To all of you, God bless you. Have a wonderful weekend. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage.
Savage.